Welcome to the Course Creator Community Podcast. Your host, Mr. Jono Petrohilos, currently generates over $1 million a year selling his online courses. And now he teaches you how to do the same. Along with listening to our podcast, make sure to join the Course Creator Community Facebook group. It's one of the largest and most engaged Facebook groups in the space. You'll find the link in the show notes. Anyway, let's get to today's show.
Okay, hello everybody. Welcome to the Course Creator Community Podcast. I am super excited because we have an absolute rock star on the line this week. And I know I say that about every guest every week, but this person actually has the stats to bring it up. He's one of the very few people I know that works full-time online as a language teacher. He's got a language course. That's his full-time thing. So that's a really cool and impressive thing to do. So without further ado, let me introduce all the way from Austria, the one and only Mr. Angel Pretot. I butchered that. I tried to use it last him before. I'm like, I just can't do it. But Angel, how are you?
I'm good. Yeah, you butchered it a bit, but at least thanks to your pronunciation, people will know how to spell it because no one knows that there's a T at the end if I say it. So that's perfect.
There we go. Let's see the French version.
Angel Pretot.
There we go. Now, Angel, I like to start this podcast off with a quote or mantra that inspires you or fires you up. Have you got one?
Yes. Yes, I do. There is a mantra that I live by, and it's have fun now. Don't mortgage the future. And it's a you can apply it to every area of life. It's a way to remember that life is lived in the present, that there is absolutely no point in putting your happiness now for a future that may never happen, because who knows what will happen. But also it's important to build for the future. So you can apply it to money, for example. Don't live above your means. You're just, you know, remember to invest a bit so that your future is hopefully better than your present. You can apply it to health, for example. Like, it's fun to eat burgers and stuff, but, you know, try to eat healthy because then you don't mortgage the future and it can be tasty too. You can apply it to everything. And of course, you can apply it to business. Like, you need to have fun in your business now. You need to do what you love, but also you need to be building so that you can keep doing it sustainably in the future. And has worked very well for me to live by this idea or these two ideas.
Love it. All right. Well, let's hear a little bit about you, Angel. So you teach French online. Let us know your origin story. How did you start? What did you do before? Let us know all about that.
Yes. So I'm a French learning coach now. My website is frenchfluency.net. My whole point is to help English speakers become fluent in French as fast as humanly possible.
Nice.
And I will stop at nothing to make that happen. I am very willing to use unconventional methods. If you look me up on YouTube, you'll find meditation tracks, for example, that I have made to help my students learn French. So I'm really open-minded in this way that I'm like, if I find something that can help, I will use it or I will offer it to the people that I work with. I am a French teacher by training. I do have a master's degree in language learning and language teaching. And I have had a very circumvented career to arrive at this point because being an independent language teacher in the world is kind of hard. Like, a lot of people just would, you know, try to give a class here and give a class there. And I did that for a very long time until I realized that it didn't really work. So I went to work in the customer support department in a tech company. And that was one of my jobs that I had. And then I became the head of the customer support department in another tech company. That's when I made the switch from Austria to Germany.
Just so I'm getting my English, Angel, was this like, did that have anything to do with languages?
It had something to do with languages in the sense that those companies are worldwide. They serve a vast number of clients. So they wanted a polyglot for the job. So I was still...
Wanted a what, sorry?
A polyglot, someone who speaks several languages.
Gotcha. Okay.
So I did mostly, French, Spanish, English, and German were the languages that I've been doing in those jobs.
Wow. So if anyone spoke any of those languages, they'd go through to you and you'd answer them in those languages?
Yeah, I would email them, yes. Yeah. It was email support.
Okay.
And then I moved to a smaller company. So I became the head of the support department and I was in charge of actually organizing the whole thing. Because in a lot of small companies, it's a complete mess. And I love doing that. And that's how I got the taste of like, wow, there is really an online world. And you can do things online very successfully. And you will have more opportunities online that you have than you have around you. And then I discovered Italki, which is a teaching platform. At the time, I think it worked a lot better for teachers than it does now. It's very difficult or even impossible to make a full-time income on Italki now. But at the time, it was actually possible to make a decent living. You wouldn't get rich, but you could eat, which is nice. So, and then eventually I lost my job in a way that was completely illegal. And because I had been in Germany for only a short span of time, I also didn't have a right to government money for being unemployed. And then worse than that, I knew that the reason why I lost my job would reproduce in future jobs because it happened twice in 6 months. And I was like, okay, this is not going to stop. I have to find a new solution. And I always had a bit of an entrepreneur bug that was I killed by my parents and by my surroundings many times. But at that time, I was 30 years old and no one was able to kill my bug anymore. So it survived. And yeah, that's how that bug became FrenchFluency.net. And I ended up being a French learning coach online.
Okay, run us through that. What was step one? What was the first thing you did when you decided? Actually, go through that decision. So at that point there, well, actually, what the question is, I guess, when did you have that thing that's like, right, I'm going to start teaching French online?
So I actually started teaching French online on Italki while I was still working in customer support or as the head of support in that company. And that's how it was, because I had just gotten fired. It was my next clue that, okay, I'm just going to continue doing that and lean into it more. But then I realized that it's not a good idea to build a business on a platform that belongs to someone else, because you can easily, well, either lose your account or just get diluted, which is what happened very clearly. I just, at some point, everybody caught up with the fact that they could teach French on Italki. And if you're competing against people in French speaking Africa, you're just gonna not be able to meet your costs. It's how it is, you know? Yeah. That's also the problem of being online, is that someone will always do it cheaper. So your only choice is to do it better.
Yeah.
So I did so much personal development. I mean, in the past 6 years since I created my business, I've just became obsessed with learning more, becoming better, just adjusting my personality so that it works better, and also leaning into what's my natural strength and either deleting or outsourcing the rest. So yeah, it's a lot of maybe you want to know more specific things. I don't know.
Let's go in there. So let's say were you doing both at one stage, or it's like, right, I got my courses on Italki, but now let me also start French Fluency as well? Or did you stop doing Italki and start French Fluency? What kind of happened there?
No, it was definitely parallel. I did have another website before FrenchFluency.net, which was called FrenchLover.org, but it didn't really work, so we rebranded. But it was definitely, everything I've done was always parallel. Italki was just one-to-one teaching.
Oh,
and actually, I still do one-to-one teaching now. It's most of my revenue. It's coaching. I mean, I call it coaching because I insist a lot on helping the person learn as opposed to just teaching random things, which unfortunately is what most people do in the language teaching industry. They don't really think so much on what it looks like for the clients. They just take the language and try to like fill the student with it as if it was an empty vessel. Yeah. And that doesn't work. So I do meet a lot of frustrated people who are like, yeah, I tried this and I tried that and nothing works. What do I do? Yeah, it's because these things haven't been designed with you in mind. Sorry. Yeah,
it's true. Not just language as well, you know, martial arts.
Yes.
You know,
it is true about everything. It's very sad.
You know, it's kind of like, because I think the thing is, just because you're, especially in those sort of skills, and I'm going to use martial arts as an example, because I've done a bit of that throughout the years. A lot of the time, the instructor is a black belt, right? Someone that's really good at what they do. And a lot of the time, they're also really good naturally at what they do. Now, I think that can be a disadvantage as a teacher. If you're naturally good at something, it can be harder for you to teach because it's kind of like, you just picked it up. It's kind of like, you know, someone's naturally good at languages, you know, or grew up speaking French. It's just easy. Well, this is how you say it. This is what you do. You know, it's kind of.
I am that person. I am that person 100%. I am someone who picked up English very easily and who picks up languages just because I love them.
Yeah.
And I'm a French native. So even though I have a master's degree in how to teach it, yes, I am that person. I confess it. And it's through all the learning and the personal development and just learning to see it from the perspective of the other person. Like, what would it look like if I had to break it down in first principles and like give people rule of thumb so that it will be correct more often than not?
Yeah.
And I've been very successful with that because sometimes I can take a person and tell them just one thing. And if they apply that one thing, all the things that they've learned before will make sense.
Yeah.
And that's coaching, basically. That's just like telling this person, okay, I know you have been learning French for 5 years. Good news. None of what you've learned is lost, even though you can't make a sentence.
Yeah.
You only need like a few little things and then it will work. And it's very empowering both for the client and for me.
Let's take a quick break.
If you want tips and strategies on how to start, grow, and monetize your business online, check out the Digital Revolution podcast with Eli Adams. We interview digital experts from around the world that share their personal stories. They talk about what they're currently working on and where they see the future going. But most importantly, they share tactics in their specific area of expertise with the hope of helping you improve your digital presence online. You can listen to the Digital Revolution podcast on YouTube, Spotify, Apple, iHeartRadio, or simply click on the link in the show notes below.
Love that. Okay, well, I still want to dive into it a little bit more. Maybe the marketing side of things. So maybe it's like, all right, cool. You also want to start. So you had your iTalki. Then you're like, great. I want to run my own thing now. How did that kind of start? How did you get clients for it to start with? Was it social media? Was it your friends? How did you start?
That was 100% social media. I can't really tell you how I did it because I had a really hard time doing it on purpose at the beginning. And I still don't know that I do it on purpose. But the whole idea is to find a way to showcase what you do and make it visible, basically.
Now, I just want to take a minute and let everyone know, if you're a course creator, you've already got a course and it's not quite selling, or if you're still in the process of putting your course together, at the Course Creator Community, we actually have a VIP group coaching program. It's the best program of its kind and the most affordable as well. So if you'd like some extra help and guidance in either putting your course together or selling your online course, I recommend joining the Course Creator Community VIP program. I'll put the links down in the show notes.
So for me, what has worked the best is Pinterest. It's a really good way to find clients if the kind of people that you work for are on Pinterest. And because it's a lot of English speakers that are in there and they are often very curious about different things. And France is one of the things that's just very romanticized.
Yeah.
There's just sort of a natural fit with Pinterest. If you can rank on Google, it's great. I'm still working on that, but some of my articles are not too poorly placed by now. And I particularly love YouTube because it's what allows you to show yourself and your personality and establish the connection with your audience.
Especially languages, right? It's like if I want to learn a language, I just straight on YouTube, you know?
Right. It's very audio, very videos, it works very well. The problem is that it doesn't work on its own. The algorithm hates small channels.
Yeah.
And just why would they show a video of a small person if they could show you a video of a big person that we already know works?
Yeah.
So I'm still working on building my YouTube channel. What I have found works the best is to use my email list and tell them to go watch my videos.
Yeah.
And then it shows YouTube like which kind of person will actually enjoy this.
Yeah.
But I don't think I would be able to grow a YouTube channel without having an email list in the first place.
Yeah. Gotcha.
And some people can do it, not me.
Yeah. Okay. And they're the major things from the start. You were just like, right, I'm going to put content on Pinterest. I'm going to write some blogs on my website. I'm going to create a YouTube channel. They're the three major things from the start.
No, this is what I have now. At the start, it was way worse than that because I had no idea what I was doing. So I had a lot of Twitter and I had a lot of Instagram and I did Facebook and I did everything you can think of and I exhausted and burned myself out. Don't do that.
Gotcha. So how did you go from that? How did you go from, right, I'm just posting everywhere and everything, to being like, you know what? I don't need to post on Facebook. I don't need to post on Instagram. These are my three go-tos.
Look at what works. Like at some point, just realize you're in some sort of toxic relationship with Facebook and they just encourage you to post, but then they bury your content.
Yeah.
YouTube does that a little bit, but at least there's a search engine. Like that was the biggest decision for me when I was like, okay, if I were to apply a principle to which social media platform I'm going to use and which one not, because now there's TikTok too, and it's very exciting, you know, which ones am I going to use and which ones am I going to just ditch because I know that I will never pick up on them or very unlikely that I pick up on them. And my benchmark was, oh, do they have a strong search engine component? Can I make content now that will be found in 2 years?
Yeah.
Not going to happen with Twitter.
Yeah.
Most likely not going to happen with Facebook or Instagram, even though they pretend to have a search engine. It's going to happen. Like, you know, where do you go where you can find content that was created years ago and is still good? Google, YouTube, Pinterest.
Yeah.
That's why those are the three that I have kept.
Yeah.
And I mean, Google meaning my blog, basically.
Yeah. Awesome. All right, cool. Love that. And I'm guessing the strategy on that is you kind of put some content out there on that social media. Is it to grow the email list? Is it like, right, I'm going to use those three things to grow my email list and then sell via there? Or how's kind of the sales process work?
It's mostly to be found. So currently, I still have most of my income coming from individual or rather high-end one-on-one coaching. And I do find that my sales funnels tends to be really short. Not always. I mean, it's great to have been here for years, of course, because even if people discover you now, if they find out that you have been making content for 4 years on YouTube, for example, it's very easy to check how long this person has been here. Like, wow, this person is serious. So I'm not saying it doesn't make sense to do it for a long time, but some people would just arrive now and be like, oh, wow, that looks like the person that I need. Let me book a call with that person. Like, it's very easy to book a free call with me from my website. You can just, you know, go through, like, check the program, click a link, boom, you'll get on a call with me. And that I find is what works best. For selling the course itself, I do use my email list and I just remind people that, yeah, the course exists and hopefully at some point they will sign up. That's mostly how it works.
Gotcha. So just so I get my head around that, let's just say, let me think of a good one. Maybe YouTube's a good one, right? So let's say you put a video out there on YouTube. What's the call to action usually on that video? Is it just you got your website there and people go to it? Do you say, go to my website, book a call? Do you say, get this free thing? What's the usual call to action?
They tend to be quite different. The call to action that's known to work the best on YouTube is watch this other video, because if you get someone off a platform, the platform will hate you. They want to keep people on there.
Yeah.
So what I tend to do is I will take one of my freebies, for example, my French starter kit or my fluency worksheet, which is part of the starter kit, and I will just show it to people and be like, okay, if you're doing this, you can be using this free thing and you have a link below, but I will do that in the middle of the video, not at the end.
Gotcha. All right, cool. That makes sense. And give that freebie a bit of a plug in case anyone listening to this wants to learn French.
Yes, so it's a French fluency starter kit. It's a set of resources. I don't know if people have the video. Should I show it?
Most people will just be listening, but some people are watching, so you can show it if you want.
Okay, well, yes, I can show it. So some of it are printed. There's a special guide for French vocabulary because it's tricky to learn, but if you know how to, it's easier. There's the fluency worksheet, which is really the core of the method that I use. And there is a ultimate guide to learning French with apps. Really is the ultimate guide to learning French with everything because it's the method that I use. It's in 4 steps, but it works well with apps or any resource that you're using. So if you have been using apps and it hasn't been working, this is probably the missing piece.
Awesome. And I will put that link down in the show notes.
Thank you.
Or you can go to frenchfluency.net/starter-kit. All right, cool. So that gives us a pretty good idea there, Angel. What about now the sales side of things? So are you using social media? You're building your email list. People may be going to the website, booking a call as well. Sounds like you've got two kind of options. It's either the one-on-one coaching, which you'll sell over like a Zoom call, or it's like a course, which is more just like sending out an email and saying, click here and buy. Are they the two kind of ways that you sell?
It's very rare that I even sell the course without talking to the person first. I find that my clients tend to be very wary because they have bought so many random things and nothing has worked before, and they like to have this human connection. It's also really good for me to keep track of, you know, what's happening in the space, what people are using now, what's working, what's not working, how do they feel about it. So it's also a research side of things. It's a very relaxed kind of call. I never really do any kind of hard sell or anything. I would suck at that so bad. Everything I've tried just doesn't work. But if I sit back and I just listen to the person and they tell me their problems, typically I do have the solution. So I can just tell them, and it works this way. I'm not good at selling through emails. I know that a lot of people say, yeah, if you write copy and so on. I spent years trying to do that. It's possible that my copy now helps. Mm-hmm. At some point I was so desperate, I even hired someone to do it for me. It didn't work either.
Yeah.
I find that perhaps it's more important for languages than for another topic, but people really need the human connection and be like, okay, like this is a real person. I can trust them.
Yeah. Let's dive into that a little bit. Question. How much do you charge for both of those? What's the one-on-one coaching and how much is the course?
So the one-on-one coaching is, I believe right now, if you have one session per week and also access to the course and to everything, we have a Discord server and content and weekly group calls. All of that together is $897 per month.
Gotcha.
And there's also a variant where you have two sessions per week, which is, that's nine sessions a month. And that's, I think, $1,750 per month. Gotcha. So it's rather high end and it's for people who really just need to speak French, like, for real, like they need it for work. There's no, like, you know, it's important and they haven't found a solution so far. And then people can also just join the course. So it's a membership, it's $99 a month or $897 a year, I believe, as of right now. And they can join the program and they will have a class every week with me. I plan on making more than one per week, but so far I don't really have enough students because the students make the class, really.
Yeah.
Like I sit there with my tools and I'm like, okay, like you speak, I give you feedback basically. And that's how I direct people to the content of the course as well, because the course, it does have free workshops that are like a beginning core method of it, but all the rest is really just a library. And if you try to go there, you will get completely lost and overwhelmed. Like I'm well aware of that. That is why we have the Discord server to help, you know, direct people on their journey, and also the weekly calls that are like, okay, like for you, it makes sense to do this now. So it works very well this way. It's 2.5 years old now, and that's about the time it took me to arrive at this configuration. And maybe I will tweak it more a bit in the future. I like that it's evolutive, contrary to a lot of courses that you find online, which would be just a bunch of content and you have it and, you know, do whatever you can with that. It can work very well, but it doesn't really work for French. I find that it works better if someone's helping you navigate.
100%. Awesome. Yeah. And I think especially like with those prices there, the phone call is so important. It's kind of like, you know, if someone's going to pay $1,000 a month, they're going to want to call. Because I think the alternative, yes, and this might be a question coming up as well, is kind of like, let's say for example, no, I'll ask you the question. So let's say if you were on a phone call with someone, someone's like $99 a month. Angel, I could just learn it for free on YouTube or Duolingo or some of these apps or whatever.
You could try.
Yeah.
And in fact, if you're talking to me right now, it's because you have tried.
Yeah, love it. Love it.
I mean, just be my guest. Like, I'm not trying to forcefully sell my course to you, but if you're here, it's because it hasn't worked so far.
Yeah. Okay. Love that.
Like, I mean, and if it works, like, honestly, I make content on YouTube to teach French to people.
Yeah.
And what I love the most is when they take it and run with it, because sometimes it does happen. For some people, it does work. I'm not saying it's impossible.
Yep.
Some people learn languages for free very successfully. And you know, go, like, do it. I love it. But for some people, they will just need a bit more help.
I'll put an analogy with fitness as well. Very similar with fitness, both online or even in person as well. It's kind of like there's people that can just go to the gym and just get fit, you know? They don't need a trainer. You know, they don't need an app. They can just go on there.
Whatever. I wish I was that person.
Yeah, exactly. And there's hundreds of people. You go to any gym, there's hundreds of people like that, right?
Good
and
for them, right?
Yeah, exactly. You know, and they don't. And I know because I used to be in the fitness space, it was the same sort of thing. Let's say then I used to run like a group fitness model, you know, like it was a boot camp. Hey, it's $50 a week. So yeah, not too dissimilar to your price there. You know, hey, it's $50 a week. You know, you come to five sessions a week. And some people kind of like $50 a week. Like, you know, why would I pay you that? I can just go and, you know, pay $10 a month or $20 a month and just go to the gym. And I'm like, fine, go for it. You know, I
mean, good for, yeah. Good for you. Like, if it works, whatever works, like I'm all like that too.
Exactly. You know, and then there's the people that it won't work for. They're kind of like, oh, I can, but for whatever reason, you know, I couldn't get motivated to go. I didn't know what to do. I got hurt. Okay, cool. Here's a level with a bit more support. And then even in that, there's going to be people in that group fitness class that are kind of like, well, that's good. There's a trainer, but there's 15, 20 other people here. I'm just falling behind. You know, maybe yeah. I'm older. Maybe I've got an injury. I really need something a bit more individualized. And I've either got the money to pay for it or whatever. I'm willing to find the money to pay for whatever it is. Here's, you know, $100, $200 for the hour for that one person. And it seems like that's kind of similar for you. You know, it's like people that Absolutely. Can work free, off you go. Okay, cool. Group environment, off you go. Hey, you still can't learn the group environment? Here's the next level here. And there's always going, especially with something like French, there's always going to be people at all levels. There's going to be people yes. that can learn for free. There's going to be people that can learn at the group level. There's going to, yeah. And just like, because I think the other thing to look at is like, if someone's listening to this being like $900 a month, you know, versus free for YouTube, you know, who would do that? It's kind of like heaps of people, you know, it's kind of yes. like, and especially as you mentioned, and I'll ask that question as well, what are kind of the hot buttons? I think you said work. Is it mainly people do it for work purposes, or do you get people for maybe a partner, or like your major clients, why do they want to learn French and pay you $900 a month?
The people who learn with me one-to-one, it's almost always for a professional reason. So it's going to be either work because they work in or with a French-speaking country. They work, for example, for the United Nations or some sort of international organizations. Like I have people who either work or want to work for Médecins Sans Frontières. You know, Doctors Without Borders, they are a French-speaking organization. Gotcha. They have incredibly high standards for the language.
Yeah.
So I do help people just, you know, meet those standards. Some people want to study in France. Like right now, for example, I have a client who is planning to become a pastry chef. And it's just a complete career change for her. And so it's like the important thing. But the school is in Paris and they want a certain level of French. And that's the kind of people I work with one-on-one. In the group program alone, I do have people who will do it for fun just because they're Francophiles and they always wanted to learn French. Sometimes people have tried for years, not really successfully, and now they're a bit older, so $99 a month is no problem. Mm. Yeah.
Awesome. Okay, cool. That part all makes sense there. And in terms of like numbers, Angel, do you mind sharing, you know, how many one-on-one clients you got, how many group people you got?
So one-on-one clients, I will never have more than 7 at a time.
Gotcha.
It's my hard limit. I find that above 7 at a time, I start getting a bit more confused and not knowing them as well.
Yep.
And it's really tailored to the person, and I want to be spot on with everything I say. You know, it's expensive enough that people can have my attention. Yeah. So never more than 7.
Gotcha.
And in the group program, I don't have a higher limit, but right now I must be at like 25.
Gotcha.
They don't show up every week, so it's not like I have 25 people sitting on Zoom at the same time. It's very rare that I have more than 10. Yeah. And that's the reason why there's only 1 hour so far. But as soon as it becomes more, I will add more hours, and people will have unlimited access. If they can make themselves show up, then they can get more teaching, you know.
Love it. So I'm just doing the math in my head here. It's give or take about $10,000 a month in revenue. You kind of clear?
Yeah, in good months. I mean, it fluctuates a little bit, but theoretically there's no upper limit because I could just keep selling spots in the program. So yeah. I hope to scale it more. More scale also is more a bit difficult to manage with, you know, your own energy and so on. So it's almost as hard to scale as it is to start from the beginning.
Yeah.
I say almost because actually if I look back, starting from the beginning was very hard. It took a lot of steps. I had no idea what I was doing for years. But yeah, scaling is a new challenge now.
I think it's like, yeah, actually, I see where you're coming from now. It's kind of like, at the start, I was like, yeah, he's right. But then I'm like, nah, hold on. The start was way harder. but I think the thing with scaling is you've maybe got a bit to lose, because it's kind of like, I've done all this work. Now I'm making some good cash. Now I need to, you know, because I'm guessing, is it just you in the business at the moment?
No, I do have one person who works with me, Linda. I don't like saying she's my assistant because she does so much more than just assisting me, but it's kind of her job description. And then I have one administrative assistant that works with me punctually every week right now, just to deal with the paperwork, because after a number of years, you have to deal with the government.
Yeah,
And it's a bit tricky. So yeah, those are the two people that are with me on an ongoing basis. And then punctually, I would probably hire a contractor here and there, but not that many.
Gotcha. And what about hours of work for yourself? How many hours a day or a week would you say you work, Angel?
So I cannot count them because I cannot make the difference between when I work and when I don't work.
Yeah.
I just don't see things this way.
Yeah.
I cannot even tell you that if I'm sleeping, I'm not working, because I will wake up and I'll have a major insight, you know?
Yeah.
So I wish I could answer that, but I think at the beginning, especially if you're an employee, you really think of like, oh, that's 40 hours a week, and you can just disconnect from your work and go home and think of something else. For me, it's not like that. I have my work and have all the other things that I think of, and I don't even know what's my work and what's not my work, because I will be watching a video on YouTube with no intention to work, and suddenly I'll be like, oh, that's how this thing works, you know? And especially if it's YouTube, because I also make videos on YouTube, so if I see something that functions well with a video, I'm like, okay, yeah, I need to do a bit more like that, and then I will stop the video, I'll go take notes. So did I just start working, or am I just fooling around on YouTube? I don't know.
That's a good answer, and it's kind of like, it's an interesting one, because a lot of people speak about work-life balance, right? Hey, I do this for a work-life balance. I need to work X amount, so this amount for life. But I think the counter argument to that is, especially for people that are really successful at what they do, it's kind of the one thing. It's just kind of like,
yes,
I love learning French. I love learning English. I love teaching people. It's kind of like, it's not like a line where it's like work and pleasure. It's kind of like, this is my whole life. You know, I love what I do for work. And then a lot of my passions kind of help me for work as well. That sounds like.
Absolutely. If you have a concept like work-life balance, you have essentially said that work is not life.
Yeah.
Which is, it's a problem. I mean, I understand that a lot of people are trapped in work that they don't enjoy. And I'm not absolutely diminishing that or anything. But ideally, you would want your work and your life to be one and the same thing, because it's what you do.
Yeah.
And like, to give you an example that perhaps is completely unexpected, I've taken an interest in cryptocurrencies, and there is this thing called crypto Twitter, where people tend to write threads on Twitter about some cryptocurrency related topic. The way that they write is the best writing I've ever seen. The people who are good at, they write, it's extremely tight because it's on Twitter, so you have to fit an idea in a tweet always. And because of reading so many of these threads, I now have changed the way that I tend to write, and perhaps eventually the way that I tend to speak. I'm still a bit wordy when I speak. I'm sure you can hear that. But I'm realizing, oh, wow, yeah, you can say something in a lot less word. And if you do copywriting, that's also what you want to be doing. So when I'm reading crypto Twitter, am I working? Because my brain is learning to do my work better.
Yeah.
And everything is like that, every single thing.
Yeah. Love it.
When I'm meditating, am I working? Probably.
Yeah, I love it. Awesome. All right, Angel, you're a mentor for plenty of people out there that want to learn French. I'm curious to hear who your biggest mentors have been over the years that have helped you get to the position you're in now in the kind of online entrepreneur world. If you could answer this in three different ways, if you could give us a paid mentor, to someone that you've paid money to, you've done their course, their coaching program, been to their retreat, their event, whatever it is, an unpaid mentor. So someone that you haven't paid, but you watch their YouTube videos, you follow them on Instagram, whatever it may be, and a book that you read and changed your life, or that you recommend someone else should read if they want to be a successful online entrepreneur.
Right. So it's very difficult to narrow it down to just three, but fortunately you sent me these questions before, so I had time to think about it. So the paid mentor, I'm going to have to quote Courtney Schall. I think it's called Schall. She used to be called Courtney Johnson, but now she's married. She had at the time a program called Yay for Clients. I think she has changed her offer a little bit, but she's the person who taught me to create a signature service.
Mm-hmm.
And that perhaps is something I should have explained earlier in the podcast, but because if you had asked me how did I start making a course, I would have told you that it's a terrible idea to set out to make a course. And I of course did that, but it didn't work. But if you create a signature service, if you start from what does the person need and how can you provide this step by step, you will be able to, well, sell that service because it's oriented towards the person. So for me, the people want to be fluent in French. That's what they want. How do I take them from where they are now to where they want to be? Then I created the roadmap to fluency to do that. And it was first a signature service. And then it evolved into this complex coaching program and the online program that goes with it. So Courtney Schall has been really the person who helped me unlock that. And it was very helpful to be in her program. Ages ago, I think it was, 2017.
Yeah, wow.
So she's going to be my paid mentor. My unpaid mentor is an interesting one. I'm going to say Derek Sievers. Not only I didn't pay him, but actually he paid me, which is quite something.
Yeah.
It was at the very beginning of my business career. He was looking for a teacher on Italki to teach him Esperanto. And at the time, there were only two teachers of Esperanto, which were Tim Morley, a rather prominent Esperanto guy, and me.
Esperanto?
Oh, Esperanto. That's a language which was created. It's a man-made language. And it's the easiest language that you can learn, which has a few millions of speakers.
Yeah, wow, okay.
And some people recommend that if you're a monolingual, like if you're a person with only one language, which was the case for Derek Sievers. Right, so you, for example, if you want to learn languages, you'll be better off if you learn Esperanto first.
Thanks so much for listening to this episode of the Course Creator Community Podcast. If you're enjoying the show, please feel free to rate, subscribe, and leave a review wherever you listen to your podcasts. We really appreciate that effort, and we'll catch you in the next episode.
I had no idea. He shows up, I just start teaching him. For me, he's a normal guy. But then I realized that I look at my website traffic, because I also already had that website at the time, and I see Sievers.org, and I'm like, what's Sievers.org? I have got 200 people trafficking from like that link.
Yeah.
What is this?
Yeah.
And then I realized is that this like huge entrepreneur who had like a startup at the time of, you know, the early .com time, and he sold it for 22 millions. And he's this major mentor, is like quoted everywhere, has written books, has just extremely influential. And yeah, I mean, I think if I hadn't had him as a client completely randomly at that time, and if he hadn't started actually even explaining things to me, and you know, we became friends, so I could ask him questions and stuff, and I was like, wow, he's really someone. He's not trying to mentor people, he just likes to write things, and he has a blog that's extremely mind-blowing, so totally recommend what he writes. You can find also a few talks by him on YouTube, even though he doesn't have a channel of his own as far as I know. But yeah, very, very influential guy. And the book, it's not a book that changed my life so much, because it came out way too late for me to benefit from it from the beginning. But if you are at the beginning of your journey, like read this. It's Chillpreneur by Denise Duffield-Thomas. It's she's writing for women. So if you're a guy, don't be put off by that. The advantage of reading something that's been written for women is that it's not written from the perspective that, oh, like you're a guy and your work is your whole life, and you have to, you have your full time, you know, to put into that. Because if you read from anyone who gives you advice for entrepreneurship, they start from this framework that you can, oh yeah, just work 60, 70, like 100 hours a week, you know, Elon Musk, for example. And it's great, but not all of us can do that. And, you know, it's not about being male or female. It's about, well, how much resources do you have on your hands? Sometimes you don't. Sometimes you have a full-time job and you want to start your business next to it. It's very common. Or she writes a lot for people who have children, for example, because that's something you might also be having. And if you only look at great entrepreneurs, you'd be like, yeah, but I mean, what do I do with my like children or my full-time job or my parents that I have to take care of or whatever? But she's really good at just helping you narrow what you have to do, like finding the things that are important. She also has three different kinds of business that she explains in here and how they can work together, how you can mix and match them. So one of them is selling online products. So courses will be in that category, and another one is coaching. So yeah, it's a really good, well-rounded thing if you're interested in creating an online business or you're at the beginning and it hasn't really worked yet. You can get a few things unlocked if you read Chillpreneur by Denise Duffield-Thomas.
Love it. Okay.
And can I give a bonus?
Yeah, please do.
Even perhaps more bigger than business, because it's business and life. Mary Folio's book, Everything is Figureoutable, is also a really good one to figure things out.
Awesome. I actually haven't read either of those two. I think I'm guilty of reading a lot of the male ones, you know, the Tony Robbins, the Grant Cardone.
I mean, I did it too. I mean, I was like, I'm not going to quote Tony Robbins. Everybody knows him.
Yeah, true. But I'm going to, I'll definitely check out those. Okay, final question, Angel. I like to ask everyone about their software stack. So there's all these different platforms out there.
It's a nightmare.
Yeah, exactly. I'm curious, which one do you use, and have you always used that, or you tried a few and you came across this?
Let's take a quick break. Money is all around us, and we think about it more than almost every other aspect of our lives. But how can we make more of it, and what's our drive for building wealth beyond just the numbers in our bank account? Join us on the Make More podcast as our host Matt Heslin brings to you a dynamic lineup of experts in the world of investing, business, health, and beyond. Together, they unpack the secrets to not just surviving, but thriving in today's economy. It's about more than just wealth. It's about crafting life experiences, seizing opportunities, and building a legacy. Subscribe now to the Make More with Matt Heslin podcast and join us every week for new expert insights and inspiration.
Yeah, I tried so many different things. So for selling my course, I use Kartra.
Gotcha.
I would not recommend it, but I have not found something better for having a member zone that doesn't look messy. Mm. Everything else looked worse. It's expensive. It's also pretending to do email stuff, but it does it so poorly. And my assistant deals with it now, but it's not something you want to like do to someone. I'm sorry for her. But I use Drip for emails now. I actually had Drip, then I moved to Kartra because Kartra was pretending to do email as well. And then I was like, okay, you know, fuck it. Sorry for swearing. I'm just going to pay for Drip extra because it works so much better that I'm going to save in labor cost what I spend for the membership in Drip.
Yeah.
So those are the really two main ones that I use now. I use Zoom for calls. I use Discord for community.
Yeah.
I used to have a Facebook group. It actually still exists, but Facebook it's getting worse by the minute. I don't know how they manage to keep getting worse, because every time they change something, you're like, okay, like we have hit rock bottom this time. It cannot get worse, but somehow they always overdo themselves. So I had to find another solution. And when I discovered Discord and I saw that some communities were actually working properly with Discord and that, you know, it's searchable. You can have different channels for different topics. It's easy to use. Yeah, we totally recommend Discord. Even if you're not a gamer or something like that, just do yourself a favor and check out Discord, because it could solve some problems and it's free. And I think there's a paid version, but I use the free version. So yeah, those are the main ones. I have Squarespace for my website. I don't know that it's particularly good, but my ex-wife chose it for me ages ago because she was helping with web design and things like that. And it works okay.
Gotcha. So it's Squarespace for the website. The checkout cart is on Kartra. Is that what you're saying?
Yes, it is. Yes.
And then the course is hosted on Kartra as well?
The course is hosted on Kartra as well.
Gotcha. But you use
Drip. Except for the Discord community and Zoom call, yeah.
Gotcha. Gotcha. And the email is done via Drip.
Yes.
Awesome. Awesome. Cool. Well, hey, Angel, that's pretty much all I wanted to cover today. Someone's listening to this. Well, let's do a couple different things. If they're listening to this and they want to learn French, well, hey, go to frenchfluency.net/starter-kit. I'll put the link again in the show notes there. What about if someone just wants to follow you personally, Angel? You know, they may not want to learn French, but they're like, this guy's cool. He's motivational. You're active on social. And if so, where's your best one?
Yes, you can find me on YouTube. That's probably the easiest. I do have a Telegram channel as well. So I think it's at French Fluency. That's the Telegram handle. And YouTube is Angel Préto, the French coach. If you type Angel Préto, you'll find me, no problem. Yeah, those are the two main ones. You can also follow me on Pinterest, but it's mostly to find French stuff. It's not very personal for a platform. Awesome. But yeah, YouTube, I mean, I love reading the comments. I love answering the comments. So, and of course there's LinkedIn if you want to connect, but I have never really found a way to make it work for me. So I don't hang out there too much.
Awesome. All right. Well, Angel, that's pretty much all I wanted to cover today. Is there anything I should have asked you but forgot to, or anything you want to finish us off with?
I think you haven't insisted too much on the time frame. And a lot of people, I find a lot of super inspirational articles are like, look how he became a billionaire or a millionaire in 2 years. I'm not a millionaire yet. I'm very confident that it will happen one day. But I have had my online business for 6 years and I do live off it. I'm very happy. I make enough money, you know, to live what I consider to be comfortably. I know it's going to increase in the future. But it takes time.
Yeah.
And I think there are a lot of people who give up before it happens. I don't know that, I mean, because we see so many people who have been successful fast, or at least they say they have. Yeah. And that's all we see. We have a really big survivor bias. It's very easy if it doesn't happen for you super fast to think that you suck.
Yeah.
In my experience, the business owners that I know in real life or online, but the people I know personally, they don't have this experience. They grind it for, I don't like the word grind because it suggests that it's difficult or hard, but it's at least long. Yeah. You are going to make mistakes. I've made so many mistakes. I can't even, you know, the amount of time I spent trying to do the wrong thing. Like, for example, I saw you have a podcast episode about tiny courses or micro courses, like selling small courses that are under $100. Yeah. And I heard that advice from entrepreneurs that I admire and trust. And I was like, I'm going to do that too. It didn't work. I exhausted myself. I made almost no money.
Yeah.
It works for some people, but it didn't work for me. And you will, if you are trying to build an online business, you will have so many of those experiences.
Yeah.
It's normal. Yeah. In my experience, the people that I know who run their own business, they have had so many things like that. And all the ones who are successful, it's because they were like, oh, this didn't work. Like, what did I learn? What can I take from that? How can I tweak? How can I pivot? What can I try next to have a bit more of a chance that it works? Like, another thing that didn't work for me that some people swear by, paid ads. Never worked. I could never make them work. I hired someone to do it. It still didn't work. For some people, it just won't work. It's okay. I think the universe really wants me to put up my best content for free and people to find me this way and be like, wow, like, this guy is amazing. Let's work with him. It's how it has always worked. I tried to quote unquote scale with ads. It was a total failure. Does it mean that I suck at online business? Apparently not. I mean, I'm okay. You know, but it's easy to be in that position and be like, oh wow, that doesn't work. Like, I guess all those people were lying or whatever. You have to find what works for you. It takes time. So yeah, don't give up.
So many good points there. I want to piggyback off that a little bit.
Sure.
So one of my favorite quotes is a Tony Robbins one, which is something along the lines of, most people overestimate what they can do in a year, but underestimate what they can do in 10 years.
Oh, this is so true. Yes.
You know, you see online, yeah, I'm going to quit my job. You see people, you know, this person quit his job and, you know, made $10,000 next month, or you see all those and you're like, yeah.
Good for him.
Exactly.
Yeah, you won't find 1 million of those. You can find one, yes. And exactly. Just like, you know,
even then, Angel, I'd even argue that majority of people that do that, maybe you don't know their backstory, right? So let's say, for example, let's even use YouTube. That's another good one, right? It could be like, hey, look at this person, you know, they quit their job, they did my YouTube course, and now they've got 1 million followers, or they're making $10,000 a month. That's great, but maybe that person already had 1 million followers on Instagram, and they've just got those people from Instagram onto YouTube, you know? Or maybe that person was they were on Big Brother, or they were on a celebrity show, you know, and they already had all these kind of followers. So when they did that, or maybe that person was just a really charismatic person, you know, some people are great on video, some people are not. Yeah. Some people are great at written, some people are not. And yes, you can always get better, but it's kind of like, and also with the people that kind of market that, they don't tell you their bad stories. You know, it's kind of
Oh my God, like take T.R. Becker. Is one guy I love, Secrets of the Millionaire Mind, one of the best book I've ever read 10 times.
Yep.
He is famous for making a million in 2.5 years.
Yep.
0 to 1 million in 2.5 years.
Okay.
Now, I happen to have read into him a lot. What you don't see in the first, like, you know, first ad of the story is before that, he spent 10 years trying to build businesses and failing.
Yeah. Exactly.
That's what happened immediately before the 2.5 years where he made a million. Yeah. And what happened immediately after is that he lost that million.
Yeah. Okay.
You know, and only then he was like, okay, like, how do I now make it and keep it?
Yeah.
So is it that he became a millionaire in 2.5 years, like he says, which I mean, technically true, but cherry picked, right? Or is it that within 20 years, he found the way to actually become rich and stay rich?
Mm.
You know, like, of course, it sounds less sexy if you become rich in 20 years, like who has 20 years to spare?
Yeah.
Wait a second, we all actually have 20 years to spare? Yes. Like the time will pass anyway?
Yeah.
What's your point?
Yeah. I heard another. That's a good point. Like I heard someone say that almost as a joke. One of these, I think it was maybe a Tony Robbins or a Bob Proctor or someone, where it was kind of like they were telling this story where they were speaking to an older person. And I think that older person wanted to go to university and be a doctor or something. It was going to take 10 years. They were kind of like, oh, I'm 35 years old, you know? I can't become a doctor now, you know? I'm going to be 45 by the time I'm a doctor. And the person was kind of like, well, how old are you going to be in 10 years time? If you don't do it anyway, you're going to be 45 anyway. So you may as well do something in those 10 years. And I was
The thing is that I think it's a good rounding thing because it's circled back to what I said at the beginning. Have fun now. Don't mortgage the future.
Mm.
I wouldn't go to university to become a doctor now. I'm 37, by the way. Not because I will be 47 by the time I'm done, but because I will suffer like hell. Yeah. For those 10 years, and maybe I will ruin my health and burn out, and it will be a disaster. I would much rather do something that I enjoy now. Yes, maybe I will work hard. I don't like the idea of hard because it's, I will work a lot. It's possible. I love working, okay? It doesn't have to be hard.
Yeah.
But at least I will enjoy what I'm doing. And that's super important because, yeah, like I'm not putting off my life now for a hypothetical future.
Yes, I love it.
But awesome. Yeah, if you want to be a doctor, do it. It doesn't matter how old you are now. It's just, I don't want to, but you do you.
Love it. Awesome. All right, Angel, let's leave it at that for today. Thanks for your time.
Hey, course creators, real quick before we get into today's episode, I've got a little favor to ask. As a lot of you are probably aware, one of my goals for this year is to get this, is to massively grow this podcast and get it to be one of the top ranking podcasts in the marketing space. To do that, what really helps is if I can generate as many ratings as reviews as possible from listeners. So if you're a returning listener, if you could take a couple seconds and just give me a quick rating and review on Apple or Spotify or whatever platform you listen to, that would mean the world to me. Anyway, let's get to today's show.